This Israel report is brought to you by the Blue Agency. Your Israel property is in good hands. Owning properties in Israel can be a great investment, but challenging to manage if you are based abroad. The Blue Agency will manage every aspect of your property, finding and vetting tenants, maintaining your property and getting it rental ready, negotiating contracts and collecting rentals, reporting back to you regularly. The Blue Agency has built a reputation for trust and confidentiality over 20 years. The Blue Agency, your Israel property is in good hands. Contact us at www.theblueagency.com.
The Israel Report for the latest news and insights with Anthony Reich.
Anthony Reich, a very good morning. Shavua Tov, how are you?
Boker Tov, Shavua Tov. Yeah, it's around this time of the year that we have these commemorations. And one of the things that came to my attention was the fact that November the 9th, so it's the day after tomorrow, Wednesday, is actually the commemoration of Kristallnacht. That True. Night in 1938, when the Night of Broken Glass, effectively, when schools around Germany were set on fire. And there's an organization called Light from the Synagogue, which is an organization that has grown slowly over the past 15 years. And what this is about is, of course, teaching people about Kristallnacht and what it meant. But in terms of marking the occasion, schools and churches around the world keep the lights on overnight to commemorate Kristallnacht. And I think it's a great idea. It's a little signal that goes out.
That's an amazing idea, actually.
And instead of the flames burning, this is the light emanating from within in order to send a message that that sort of thing does not will not bring us down. And, of course, the message from Kristallnacht is that things were destroyed on that night by the anti-Semites of the day, and yet we wish to commemorate it by building, by learning, and by being constructive rather than being destructive. And I think the critical message that we're trying to teach about Kristallnacht is that that was really the moment that the message was sent to Germany that the rest of the world doesn't really care. When that event took place and the world didn't really respond in any significant way to send a message saying, this is not okay, that was really the moment when the German authorities understood that they were going to be able to get away with literally anything that they wished to do, and that the world was literally going to sit by and watch or not take any active actions against what was happening. And that really was what happened. That's really what allowed all of this to happen.
And of course, it's this time of year where now that we've seen so much anti-Semitism, and I'd love to hear from listeners, do you think that it is different today? So we've had, as we have the commemoration of Kristallnacht this week, when the world turned a blind eye to anti-Semitism, do you think that we live in a different world today? And if so, why? 34519 or 061-895-1019. Yesterday, speaking of hate, yesterday marked the 27th anniversary of the assassination of former Israeli President and Prime Minister, Yitzhak Rabin. And I'll never forget the evening, I'll never forget when we got the news that he had been assassinated. It was unfathomable, unbelievable, it was surreal, it just couldn't be real, and yet it was.
And I remember it very well too, Howard, even though it ages us a little bit, those are moments in our lives which are very, very difficult to forget. The problem that we have, and of course since the assassination of former Prime Minister Yitzhak Rabin, the day has generally been laid down as one of trying to teach people how democracy ought to work and not how that particular democracy was working at the time, or how people tried to take democracy into their own hands in order to force their own views in a very, very tragic and very, very destructive way. The problem is that unfortunately we are still supremely divided on this issue, very, very divided. And in the wake of last week's election, even potentially more so than before. And what happened yesterday was a great example of exactly how divided we are, because the incumbent Prime Minister, Benjamin Netanyahu, actually tried to be very conciliatory in the tone that he set in the speech that he gave yesterday, marking this 27th anniversary, saying that that's not how democracy should work, and trying to encourage people to express themselves in a peaceful and meaningful way rather than try to take things into their own hands. Unfortunately, others decided that we needed somehow to find the divisions. And the issue is that the religious Zionist movement still continues to bear a lot of responsibility and blame for the events that took place 27 years ago, because, of course, the assassin, Yigal Amir, came from the religious Zionist community, and there were many fingers pointed then, as there are now, saying that that community does not educate its people in a way which is conducive to operating a peaceful democracy, and that accusation still lingers in the current environment in which we live. And of course, with the religious Zionist party having shown so strongly in last week's election, it's raised the issue even further. It's raised the ante. And in fact, it was Bezalel Smotrich, who's the leader of that political party, the parliamentary party, the religious Zionist party. He was the one who, on the one hand, tried to deflect the blame away from the religious Zionist community, and interestingly, in doing so, tried to actually blame the security service, saying that the security service had used manipulations which encouraged a right-wing extremist to go through with a murder plan. And while nobody feels any ownership of Yigal Amir as an individual, because everybody is critical of him, including those around him from within the religious Zionist organization, but unfortunately, there are many little angles that come at it, including this notion that the security services were somehow involved in generating the hate and not taking action in order to avoid this assassination. And of course, the remarks that Smotrich made yesterday referred specifically to the Shin Bet agent provocateur Avishai Raviv, who was codenamed Champagne, and he was from the security organization who joined the ranks of the far-right extremists in the days preceding the Rabin murder, and was actually indicted for knowing about Yigal Amir's intentions. He was ultimately indicted and acquitted of any wrongdoing, but there was this notion that the security services were somehow trying to drum up a certain feeling within that religious Zionist community. And even to this very day, Smotrich is trying to point fingers and saying that was really the reason why someone like Yigal Amir was enabled to carry out this assassination. And I think that what we really need to do is just come together and say, whatever happened, happened. It's not okay. And we need to move forward in a different way, without necessarily trying to blame and point fingers all those years ago about what happened in the events that took place in those days.
Well, I mean, certainly the concern that many will have is with somebody like Ben-Gvir and Smotrich in government now, playing an active role. This type of divide is not likely to improve, is it?
It's unfortunately not likely to improve, and unfortunately they have taken the approach of being divisive in their approach to politics, in their quest to try and win over support. And to be fair, they've succeeded, because they're the biggest winners in the election that took place last week. They've grown in the terms of the number of seats that they've earned substantially. We can look back and do an analysis as to why we think that was the case. But it's their divisive politics that really resulted in this huge increase in the number of seats that they've won. And it doesn't reflect particularly well on our society, which shows so many cracks at the moment. You know, the election is now over and done with, but I think that it really showed a lot of division within our society, as opposed to an attempt to try and bring things together. So let's hope now that the government is in the process of being formed, that there will be a little bit more inclusion, a little bit more coming together of things.
Well, I guess that's my question, was going to be my next question is, you know, at the time last week, certainly the concerns that you have, and we discussed them quite openly here. I spoke to Rolene Marks on Friday, had a very open conversation where she is genuinely very worried about what this means, what this election could mean to people's rights in Israel. A weekend later, you know, things settle down a little bit. Are people perhaps more relaxed about this, or is there still this very, very high level of anxiety and concern as to what this might all mean?
I think that for people on the left of politics and even in the center, I think there is still a lot of anxiety and concern about what this government might do or undo in terms of what has been built up over the last few years in trying to extend rights to various groups and to try and somehow level the playing field for certain interest groups in Israel. I think that it's going to be quite difficult in one governmental term, even if we have a full 5-year term, which looks like we could well do, because the government that's being formed now is based upon a significant majority, something that we haven't seen in recent years in Israel, 64 seats, which is a very significant majority, and therefore presents a certain stability in the platform that's being used now to create the government. So even in within one governmental term, I think that it's very, very difficult for a government to make such substantial root and cause changes to our society. There are things that they can do. They can reroute funding in certain ways. They can cut off funding from other areas. They can try and promulgate new laws which reduce the rights of certain people and increase the rights of others. And that is quite likely to happen. That seems to be on the agenda. But I think that to change the nature of our society, to change it fundamentally, takes a lot longer, probably 20 years rather than 5 years. So if this government is not successful in what it undertakes, and if the general Israeli society feels after 5 years that what they've done and the direction that they're taking is not okay, then people will come out and vote and express themselves in order to change the government and to put a government into power that will potentially represent more of what they want. But as of things right now, this government is representative of what the majority of Israelis want. And when we say the majority is a relatively slim majority, because that 64 seats sounds like this was an overwhelming victory. But when we actually count up the votes and we look at the number of votes that we've cast for each of the individual camps, then the split, the difference is much, much smaller. And in fact, what we see is that whereas the camp that will go into government, the Likud-led camp and all the related parties, they managed to score something like 2,360,000 votes all in all, as opposed to 2,330,000 votes for all the other parties. So the difference between the two camps was a mere 30,000 votes across all Israelis. That amounts to less than one Knesset seat.
Very little. Incredible.
Less than one Knesset seat. Now, let's take into account the fact that because two of the left-wing parties did not make the threshold in the form of Balad and Meretz, so their votes, 289,000 votes, were thrown away. They were literally discarded because those two parties didn't make the threshold. And interestingly, both of those parties had the opportunity to team up with others prior to the election, which would mean that their votes would have been counted if they had come together and teamed up on a single list with the other parties. Balad had the opportunity to team up with the other Arab parties. Meretz had the opportunity to team up with Labour. They chose for their reasons not to do so, as a result of which nearly 300,000 votes on the left wing of Israeli political spectrum were literally thrown away because they didn't make the electoral threshold. So the split between the left and the right wing in Israel is 30,000 100,000 people. That is what it amounts to. And it reminds me a little bit sometimes of the American presidential election, where we see a certain president elected. But when you count up the number of votes across the whole country that they've earned, they've actually earned less votes than the candidate who was defeated. And we're sort of seeing a little bit of that here, where the majority is so slim, and yet the majority in the Knesset, because of the way that things work out, is quite substantial.
Very, very interesting. I don't want to let you go without talking about the story, because I think it's absolutely amazing. An Israeli athlete came second yesterday in the New York City Marathon.
Yes, I don't know how many people are familiar with the New York City Marathon. It's a huge event.
Yeah, 50,000 runners. I mean, that is just 50,000
runners, and it's really regarded as the big marathon event of the year. And the Israeli athlete who came second was Lona Chemtai Salpeter. We've spoken about her before. She is formerly a Kenyan. She came to Israel as a nanny for the Kenyan ambassador. She met her coach and husband today, and he has coached her into some remarkable events. She, in the process, has become an Israeli citizen, and she is, of course, married and with a child. And just this year alone, not only did she come second in yesterday's New York Marathon, and only by 7 seconds, she was literally leading the race into the final stretch when she was overtaken by one of her former compatriots, a Kenyan lady, who overtook her and beat her to the post by 7 seconds across the 42 kilometers. But in addition to that, she's also won bronze this year in the 10,000 meters at the European Championships, and she's also won bronze at the U.S. World Athletics Championships. So she's done really, really well this year, and second in the New York Marathon. I think that's a great achievement.
It really is. It is 8 o'clock. Anthony Reich, thank you as always. Ivy says the only difference today is that we have a state of Israel. Ronnie says the only difference is that we have a state of Israel that should we no longer be safe as Jews, and a Jewish government that speaks out against anti-Semitism around the world. It is 8 o'clock. That was in response to the question about anti-Semitism today versus at the time of Kristallnacht.
That Israel Report was brought to you by the Blue Agency. Your Israel property is in good hands. Owning properties in Israel can be a great investment, but challenging to manage if you're based abroad. The Blue Agency will manage every aspect of your property, finding and vetting tenants, maintaining your property and getting it rental ready, negotiating contracts and collecting rentals, reporting back to you regularly. The Blue Agency has built a reputation for trust and confidentiality over 20 years. The Blue Agency, your Israel property is in good hands. Contact us at www.theblueagency.com.